Okay, ready to go deep. Today, we're tackling a big one, the Holy Spirit's role in the New Testament. And lucky for us, we've got Dr. Mathewson's lecture notes to guide us.
Yeah, from what I've seen, these notes are a real deep dive. He doesn't even start in the New Testament.
I know, right? That's what caught my eye. People often think of the Holy Spirit as a purely New Testament idea. But Dr. Mathewson seems to be saying it's a much bigger story.
Oh, yeah, he goes all the way back to the beginning. Genesis, creation, the Spirit's right there.
Hovering over the waters.
Yeah.
Right. That's more than just a pretty picture. It's like this foundational image.
Exactly. It's like the very breath of God bringing order and life into existence. And it's not just a one-time thing.
So how does the Spirit show up in the rest of the Old Testament? I mean, besides creation, where else do we see it?
Well, Dr. Mathewson gives some examples, like in Numbers, where the Spirit empowers people to prophesy.
So it's not just these big cosmic moments. God's also working through ordinary people, giving them the ability to speak his truth.
Right. And I think that connects to us today, don't you? If everyday people back then were empowered by the Spirit, what does that mean for us now?
That's a really good question. It makes you think about the Spirit's role in our own lives.
And then there's Nehemiah, where the Spirit guides the Israelites through the wilderness. So it's not just about words. It's about direction, about God leading his people.
Okay, so we have the Spirit at creation, giving people words, guiding entire groups of people. What about the prophets? They seem pretty important to this whole story.
They are. Dr. Mathewson points to a lot of passages where the prophets anticipate this future outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Like they see it coming.
Yeah, like in Isaiah, where he talks about the Spirit being poured out on thirsty land, turning it into a fertile field. It's pretty powerful imagery.
It's not just words or guidance anymore. It's like transformation, about something new and life-giving coming from the Spirit.
And he really focuses on this pouring out language because it connects to what happens at Pentecost in the New Testament.
So we're seeing how the Old Testament is setting the stage for what's to come. All these prophecies are building up to this arrival of the Holy Spirit in a new way.
Exactly. And he even points to Ezekiel, where God promises to give people a new heart and a new spirit, that heart of stone becoming a heart of flesh. That's the Spirit, too.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And then there's Joel, with that whole prophecy about everyone receiving the Spirit, sons and daughters prophesying, even servants. It's not just a select few anymore. The Spirit's reach is expanding.
And for Dr. Mathewson, this points toward a new creation, a new age, all ushered in by the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Okay. So that's the foundation of the Old Testament. But now we're moving into the New Testament. Jesus. How does the Holy Spirit factor into his life?
Right from the start, Dr. Mathewson talks about the Spirit descending on Jesus at his baptism. It's a key moment. It empowers him for his ministry, and it fulfills those Old Testament prophecies about the Spirit-anointed Messiah.
And isn't it Luke who's sometimes called the theologian of the Holy Spirit? Why is that? What makes his perspective unique?
Well, Luke really emphasizes how the Spirit empowers Jesus to carry out his mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that servant in Isaiah, Luke 4, Jesus even says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to proclaim good news and freedom.
So the Spirit is like the fuel behind Jesus's ministry.
I like that, yeah. And then you get to this pivotal moment where Jesus promises a baptism in the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist even foreshadows it.
Right, that someone's coming who will baptize not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Mm.
It's a total game changer. But how does that connect back to the Old Testament? It seems like such a new concept.
Well, Dr. Mathewson says it's not brand new at all. It's actually a fulfillment of those prophecies where God promised to pour out his Spirit on his people.
So it's not about a new covenant. It's about God's faithfulness to his promises across time. It's like a thread woven through the whole story.
Exactly. And that promise of the Spirit being poured out, well, it explodes onto the scene at Pentecost.
Pentecost.
Yeah.
The event most people think of when they hear about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. But Dr. Mathewson is clear. Pentecost isn't just this isolated event. It's the culmination of everything we've been talking about. God's promises, the prophet's anticipation, Jesus's ministry. It's a huge turning point.
And then in the book of Acts, how does Pentecost play out?
Here's where it gets really interesting. We see these Pentecost-like events happening repeatedly throughout Acts. It's not just a one-time thing. The Spirit is being poured out on Samaritans, on Cornelius, a Gentile centurion, on people in Ephesus.
So it's expanding outward. The circle of who is considered God's people is going beyond those traditional boundaries.
And Dr. Mathewson argues that the Spirit is what's driving this expansion. It's a sign that this new age of salvation is breaking down barriers and reaching out out to everyone.
Which makes me wonder, how does the Holy Spirit equip all these new believers, all these different people, to carry on Jesus' mission? I mean, that's a huge question.
Yeah.
Well, there are a few examples in Acts where the Spirit gives believers the power to speak boldly and even to prophesy. Like in Acts 4, the disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they speak God's word with such courage, even when they're facing persecution.
It would be so much easier to just stay silent. What is it about the Spirit that makes them speak out, even when it's risky?
It's a good question. And this boldness isn't just about being brave. It's about being a channel for God's message.
I'm noticing a theme here, the Spirit and prophecy.
Oh, yeah, it comes up a lot. Dr. Mathewson even points to Acts 11, where Agabus predicts a famine. And it's specifically the Holy Spirit speaking through him.
So it's not just bold words. It's revealing God's plans, showing us glimpses of what's to come.
And now we come to the Apostle John. His gospel is known for its deep theological perspective, right?
Right, right. So what stands out to you about John's view of the Holy Spirit?
Well, John really emphasizes the Spirit's role in new birth and creation.
I'm thinking about John 3, where Jesus talks about being born of water and spirit. It's more than just physical birth.
Yeah. Right?
Definitely. It's way deeper. Dr. Mathewson connects it back to Ezekiel, where God promises to cleanse his people with water and give them a new spirit.
Oh, so John's drawing on that Old Testament theme of renewal. But now it's about the spiritual transformation that comes through Jesus.
And it's not just about individual salvation. It's about God creating a new community.
And in John 7, at the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus talks about rivers of living water flowing from those who believe in him. And John says the living water is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's like this image of the Spirit as this boundless source of life springing up within us.
And it's happening during the Feast of Tabernacles, which is all about celebrating God's provision in the wilderness. It's like Jesus is saying, I am the true source of provision.
Yeah.
And it comes through the Holy Spirit.
And that leads to another important idea John introduces. The Holy Spirit as the Paraclete.
Okay, full disclosure, the Paraclete has always sounded kind of mysterious to me. What does it actually mean?
It's a tough one to translate. It's been called Advocate, Helper, Counselor. But what Dr. Mathewson emphasizes is that the Paraclete is a substitute for Jesus.
Oh, I see. So even though Jesus isn't physically present after his ascension, he's not leaving his followers alone. He sends the Holy Spirit to be with them.
Exactly. And it's in John 14 where Jesus promises that he'll ask the Father to give them another advocate. And this advocate will be with them forever. It's not just temporary.
So Jesus is making sure his followers will never be alone. But the Paraclete isn't just a passive presence, right? What does it actually do?
Well, in John 16, Jesus describes the Paraclete, the Spirit of truth, as guiding believers into all truth.
So it's like having an internal teacher, helping you understand God's word and his will.
That's it. But this knowledge isn't just for you. It's meant to be shared, just like the Spirit emboldened those early believers in Acts.
Right. That makes sense. It's like the Paraclete's internal illumination leads to outward proclamation.
And this isn't just for a few people. It's for everyone who has received the Spirit. Spreading the good news, just like Jesus said in Acts 1.8, they'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they'll be his witnesses all over the world.
So the Holy Spirit is the driving force behind spreading the gospel, pushing believers beyond their comfort zones across those geographical and cultural lines.
It's not just about getting more followers, though. It's about changing lives.
Yeah.
About establishing God's kingdom.
Which brings us back to those Pentecost-like events in Acts. It's this ongoing thing. The Spirit is constantly being poured out, bringing new people into God's family and shattering those old expectations.
And that brings up a big question, I think. If the Holy Spirit is so central to the New Testament, how does it relate to us today?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And lucky for us, we have two more parts to this deep dive to explore that very thing.
So we were talking about all that activity of the Holy Spirit in Acts. It really sets the stage for how Paul talks about the Spirit in his letters. And, you know, Paul's writings make up a good chunk of the New Testament.
Yeah, Paul, sometimes it feels like he wrote half of it. So how does he fit the Holy Spirit into all of this? I mean, we've already talked about creation, Pentecost. It feels like we've covered so much.
It's fascinating because for Paul, the Spirit is totally tied to the resurrection. Remember, we started by talking about the Spirit being present at creation.
Oh, yeah. So now it's involved in the very beginning and this new beginning through Jesus. It's like the Spirit is bookending the whole thing.
Exactly. And the resurrection is at the heart of that new beginning. Paul's super clear about it. In Romans 8.11, he says, "If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
Wow, hold on. So the same spirit that brought Jesus back to life is now living in believers. That's a pretty intense idea.
It is. And for Paul, it's not just some theoretical thing. It changes everything about how we live.
So it's not about having these like spiritual experiences. It's about how we act, how we treat each other, how we make decisions, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Remember that passage in Galatians 5 where he lists the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those aren't just nice ideas. They're supposed to be evidence of the Spirit's work.
I mean, yeah, who wouldn't want more of those things in their life?
Yeah.
But they're not exactly easy, are they? It's one thing to say, like, be more loving, but how does the Spirit actually help us with that?
Paul's whole point is that we can't just make those things happen by trying really hard. They come from surrendering to the Spirit, letting the Spirit transform us from the inside out.
So if we are seeing those qualities growing, even if it's slowly, maybe that's a sign that the Spirit's doing its work, like we're part of it.
I think so, yeah. It's like we're working together. And it's not just internal either. The Spirit empowers us to do stuff, you know, for other people.
Like those Pentecost events in Acts.
Yeah.
People suddenly doing things they never thought they could, like speaking up or taking action.
Exactly. The Spirit gives us boldness to share our faith, compassion to serve, even wisdom when things get tough.
So we've got the fruit of the Spirit, this empowerment for service. Is there anything else we should look for to see how the Spirit's working in us?
Dr. Mathewson also talks about the Spirit deepening our connection to the Bible. He says a Spirit-filled life will have a growing love for Scripture and a desire to obey it.
That makes sense. I mean, the Spirit inspired the Bible in the first place, right?
Yeah.
So wouldn't it help us understand and apply it?
Right. But he's not talking about being a rule follower. It's more about genuinely wanting to live according to God's will.
So less about checking boxes and more about letting the Spirit change our hearts and desires.
Yeah. And that's a process, you know, a lifelong journey of becoming more like Christ.
You know, I've heard people talk about being filled with the Spirit, and it always sounds like this sudden, dramatic thing. But what we're talking about now feels different. Like it's about a gradual relationship with God.
That's a good point. I mean, there can be those big, intense moments. But a lot of the Spirit's work happens in those everyday, ordinary moments.
So paying attention to those quiet moments where you feel like you're being nudged, moments of clarity, conviction, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But we have to be humble and willing to follow the Spirit's lead.
Humble, because we can't make these changes ourselves. And surrendering, because we're letting the Spirit be in charge.
That's it. And surrendering to the Spirit isn't weak. It's about trust. It's about letting go of our own plans and saying yes to God's purposes.
It's like that saying, let go and let God.
Yeah, something like that. And that freedom and purpose aren't just for us. They affect the people around us as we become, you know, conduits of God's love and grace.
Which takes us back to Dr. Mathewson's question. How else does the Holy Spirit act as a sign? And what does that tell us about God's work in the world? It seems like it's bigger than just what we experience personally.
Oh, for sure. It challenges us to see the Spirit at work outside of ourselves, in other people's lives, and in the world as a whole.
So we're not just looking inward at our own spirituality. We're looking outward to see the Spirit working for justice, for healing, for reconciliation, for all of creation, really.
Absolutely. And seeing it isn't enough either. We're supposed to join in, to partner with the Spirit in its work of redemption.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'm not the only one wondering, how do we actually do that? What does it look like to partner with the Holy Spirit?
It starts with being able to recognize those promptings, those nudges from the Spirit. And that means taking time to pray, listening for God's voice, and trying to figure out His will. It takes intention.
So we need to create space to listen to God, to tune out the noise and distractions.
Definitely. But it's not just about getting personal guidance. It's also about being aware of the needs around us.
So connecting our spiritual practices to things like social justice, caring for those in need, working for peace, putting our faith into action.
Exactly. It's all connected. The Spirit works in every part of our lives and reaches out to the world.
It's been quite a journey so far, tracing the Holy Spirit from creation all the way through Paul's letters. The Spirit isn't just this idea. It's this active presence, helping us become more like Christ and join in with God's work of restoring the world.
And it's not just a New Testament story either. The Spirit's still at work today, guiding and empowering us to make a difference.
And we're not done yet. We still have one more part to this deep dive. We're going to talk about what it means to actually live under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives today.
It's going to get real practical. Stay tuned.
Okay, we're back. last part of our deep dive on the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. It's been pretty amazing so far, exploring all these different facets of the Spirit.
I know, right? It's crazy how much we've uncovered. But in a way, we've only just scratched the surface. There's always more to discover.
That's what I love about this stuff. We've talked about the Spirit's role throughout history, but now I want to know, like, how do we actually experience the Spirit's power in our lives today? It can't just be something we learn about, right?
You're totally right. Dr. Matthewson makes it clear that the Holy Spirit isn't just an academic topic. It's a living presence. It's about transformation, not just information.
So it's not enough to just analyze it. We need to be filled with it. But how do we even know if that's happening? Are there signs we should be looking for?
He doesn't give a list or anything, but he does talk about the characteristics of a Spirit-filled life. Remember that fruit of the Spirit Paul talks about in Galatians?
Oh, right. Love, joy, peace, patience, all that good stuff. Honestly, I could use a lot more of that in my life.
Yeah.
But they're not exactly easy to just, like, conjure up.
Yeah. And Paul's point is that we can't just will ourselves to be more loving or patient. Those qualities come from the Spirit working in us.
So maybe if we're seeing those things grow in our lives, even a little bit, that's a good sign, like the Spirit is doing something.
I think that's a good way to look at it. It's this cooperative thing. And it's not just about what's happening inside us either. The Spirit gives us power to do things, to serve others.
It's like those stories in Acts, where people suddenly have this boldness to speak out, to take action. They're doing things they never thought they could.
Exactly. Dr. Matthewson wants us to get that. The Holy Spirit isn't passive. It gives us boldness to talk about our faith, compassion to help others, wisdom to deal with hard stuff. Have you ever felt that, like, nudge to do something outside your comfort zone? Maybe to stick up for someone or help someone who's hurting.
Yeah, I think we've all had those moments where we just feel like we need to do something, even when it's hard.
I think those are the moments where the Spirit might be prompting us to be God's love and justice in the world.
So we've got the fruit of the Spirit, this empowerment for service. Anything else we should be paying attention to?
Well, Dr. Matthewson also says that a deeper love for the Bible and a desire to live it out are signs of the Spirit's presence.
That makes sense to me. If the Spirit inspired the Bible, it makes sense that it would also help us understand it, right? Like having the ultimate study guide.
But it's not about just being a Bible scholar. It's about wanting to live in a way that honors God, letting His Word shape us.
So it's less about checking all the boxes and more about letting the Spirit actually change our heart.
Exactly. It's a journey, you know, becoming more like Christ. And that takes time.
It seems like experiencing the Holy Spirit isn't about this one big event. It's more about this ongoing relationship with God that keeps growing.
It's like any relationship. You have to put in the time and effort. And sure, you might have those big, exciting moments, but a lot of it is about the little, everyday things.
So it's about noticing those quiet promptings, those times when you feel like you're being nudged in a certain direction, those moments of clarity, of knowing what's right. It's like learning to hear the Spirit's voice in all the noise.
That's a great way to put it. And it also takes humility, you know, recognizing that we need God and a willingness to surrender to His leading.
It's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? The idea that letting go actually gives us more freedom.
I love that. And that freedom doesn't just stay with us. It spills out into the world as we start to reflect God's love and grace. Which brings us back to Dr. Matthewson's question, remember?
Oh, yeah. How else does the Holy Spirit act as a sign? And what does that tell us about God's work in the world? It feels like the Spirit's doing a lot more than just working in our individual lives.
Absolutely. That question pushes us to look beyond ourselves, to see the Spirit working in other people in the bigger picture.
So we're not just focused on our own personal spirituality. We're also looking for the ways the Spirit's working for justice, for healing, for everyone to be treated fairly, for the good of the whole world.
Exactly. And seeing those things isn't the end goal. We're called to join in, to be part of what the Spirit is doing, to work with the Spirit to bring about redemption.
Wow, that's powerful. But how do we actually do that? What does it look like to partner with the Holy Spirit?
It starts by learning to pay attention to those promptings, those little nudges from the Spirit. And that means making time to pray, listening to God, trying to figure out what He wants us to do. It's about being intentional.
So creating space to listen to God, to quiet our minds and all the distractions around us.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not just about getting personal guidance. It's also about noticing what's going on around us, where God might be calling us to get involved.
So connecting what we do in our own spiritual lives with a commitment to justice, caring for people, working for peace. It's about putting our faith into action.
I think you nailed it. It's all connected. The Spirit's work touches everything.
Well, this has been an incredible journey, hasn't it? Exploring the Holy Spirit's role throughout the New Testament. It's clear that the Spirit empowers believers, shapes the church, and ultimately leads to the renewal of all creation. It's an ancient story, but it's still unfolding today.
And we all get to be a part of it. The Spirit's still working, guiding us, empowering us to make a difference.
It's like we're all invited to be detectives of the Spirit, looking for its fingerprints everywhere and joining in wherever we find it. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's given you a new appreciation for the Holy Spirit and how it can change lives. Until next time, keep seeking, keep exploring, and keep letting the Spirit work in and through you.